This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Hi, I am at University College London today and I'm talking with Dr. Cristiano Sabiu. Hi.
Hello.
So you work on cosmology and the large-scale structure somewhere in between modelling and observation. Can you tell me more about this?
Well, I say that I live somewhere in the middle ground because I never look through a telescope. And I never, you know, write down a theory from basic first principles. So I let the clever people do their stuff at both ends of the spectrum, and then I try to join them up in the middle.
So what exactly do you do?
So I'm interested in the large-scale distribution of galaxies and matter in the universe because, well, the distribution of matter in the universe encodes a lot of information about the cosmological physics. What are the basic physical processes going on which affect the universe and its evolution? So I'm interested to understand the distribution of matter better because then we can understand more about the physics.
And how do you do that?
So there's a few ways. We can look at just the luminous matter in the universe, like the galaxies, the things that emit light, and we can do things like correlation functions and statistical analysis like that. It's just looking at the structure in a mathematical, statistical way, and it makes it easy then to compare with theoretical models. But there is a problem there in that what we really want to know is the underlying matter distribution, and we know that that is mainly composed of this elusive dark matter, the stuff that we cannot see. So there's a gap in our knowledge, which we call biasing. It's the difference between the luminous matter and the underlying matter field. And to explain that in a theoretical way would involve more deeper understanding of galaxy evolution, and that's something that there's still a lot of work to be done on. So there's another way to do it, and that's a method called weak gravitational lensing. So here we look at the shapes of distant galaxies, and statistically we would hope that they would be just a perfect sphere or circle, so that if we look at a large distribution we can do some statistics on it.
So you have those galaxies that are spherical, and what has the lensing to do? What does it have to do with it?
These distant point sources, as the light comes from them to us and through the intervening matter, the shape of it gets distorted, and the amount of distortion and the shape of the distortion tells us about the statistics of the statistical distribution of the matter in between us and the source.
So the matter between us and the source is the lens.
Exactly, yes. So you can imagine if you have two galaxies that are quite close together in the sky and in the same position, they should have the same amount of shape distortion, and we parameterize this as an ellipse. Usually that's how we do it, so you know, just two components, E1 and E2.
And so what do we get from this? We get like a map of what's in front of them?
Yes, so there's a few things you can do. You can then reconstruct this shape information into a three-dimensional matter field, and that's something that's a lot of work has been done on recently. But another thing you can do is just look at the statistics of the shapes themselves of the galaxies, and this actually encodes the statistics of the matter field quite perfectly. And there's an extra bonus here in that it tells you about the gravitational field and therefore the total matter field, rather than just the luminous matter.
So you detect dark matter, basically?
Yes. Yeah.
And so what do you do with those observations? Like, how does it help to know the distribution of luminous and dark matter?
Well, we think that we know the physics of the early universe to some degree, and therefore we can, if we go way back to the cosmic microwave background, we see these fluctuations of temperature, and that's essentially telling you the matter field, redshift 1000 or approximately. But from then, the matter field evolves gravitationally, and there's other processes going on. And at late times now, in the late time universe, we can use these techniques like gravitational lensing and galaxy clustering to fit certain parameters of the model. So how much dark matter, how much baryonic matter, how much dark energy, and other things like the acceleration parameter.
What's that, the dark energy and acceleration parameter? What are those?
So if the standard model of cosmology is correct, but redshift 2, one of the energy components of the universe started to dominate, and it's what we call dark energy, and it causes a repulsive effect to counterbalance gravity. So instead of things coming together, we start seeing this expansion again.
So to detect those changes in the shape of the galaxies, what kind of instrument do you use? Is it something like, is it pictures from Hubble, or do you use other wavelengths? Or
okay, so it's all optical, but I'm working on a project called the Dark Energy Survey, and we're going to have this telescope and camera set up in Chile, and we're just going to survey the sky photometrically, and we will see the shapes on the CCD, actually pixelized images, and then we'll run some algorithms on it to detect the shapes of these things, and that's actually quite a challenge in itself. Even given an ideal case of a fuzzy image on a pixelized CCD, it's not so easy to accurately measure the ellipticity or how circular this galaxy is, and it's a challenge we've actually posed to some computer scientists to see if they can help us out, and they've come up with some really ingenious algorithms to do this.
And so what are you expecting to find? What are you hoping to find with those observations?
I think if we can constrain the dark energy parameter to, you know, what we think is a few percent as a predictions, then it would be very important for cosmology to know that it's exactly these parameters.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Sabiu.
Thank you.
And bye.
Ciao.